Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody?
All the leaves
what is
on the
up?
Trees are
How's everybody
falling
doing today?
To the sound
Tuesday.
Of breezes
that blow. Tuesday in the park. And of course, we're always great, happy to be here hanging out with you guys and enjoying the Bubba Show. And again, you know, I'm a big advocate and a big fan of helping everybody and making life a little better. You know, that's really, you know, what my life is about, is making things better for the average investor. You know, after all, okay, there's money for everybody. Everybody can survive. Everybody can succeed. Everybody can do well. So why can't we just do well together, right? You know, again, I know that not everybody will listen. I know all the stories. You know, I've heard them all. I've lived them all. And but I think one of the things that should be interesting to you in today's world is that all of a sudden, you know, even companies like Goldman Sachs are laying off people right now, okay? You know, does that give you any reason for concern? You know, the most successful investment banking business, you know, is going to lay people off. Should that give you a cause for concern? Does that mean that something's happening? Well, I will only say this, okay? Goldman Sachs, first of all, I believe they're a little phony, but again, very smart. You know, listen, maybe my version of phony is their business, their thing of intelligence. I mean, you know, if you in recent history, if you watch them, I mean, they were the only ones to collect the insurance money from AIG because they were ahead of the curve. Okay. And, you know, they've been manipulating markets for years. Okay. And very well. They've been very profitable. So if you believe that, you know, they're smart, well, why are they laying off employees? Okay. So they're seeing something that's indicating to them that they better start cutting down their payroll. Okay. They better start cutting down their business, because why else would they want to start to lay off some people? Okay. And again, I never create or to want to talk about, you know, massive fear. You know, I don't believe in it. I believe in very static, very stoic, you know, very matter of fact. This is what's going on. This is what we're going to do. And this is what we're trying to do. So, you know, let's not ever confuse the issue of me talking about market collapses versus talking about, you know, reality. I mean, the reality is that we're going to see a market meltdown. I mean, that's reality. Now, here, Goldman Sachs laying off employees. Well, that cannot be bullish in the overall scheme of things. So they're obviously seeing less of a demand for investing because they don't need the people to take care of it. Okay, so now you put that into consideration and you look at the rest of things that are going on in the world. And of course, we see many, many layoffs. Of course, we just had a jobs number that was, once again, abysmal. You've got a Fed that is totally lost and idiotic, that have not a clue of what to do next. Okay? I mean, it's not even close. You would think that it was being run by, you know, a bunch of third graders that don't understand anything, because certainly the job they're doing is brutal. But I'm not going to harp on the Fed. My point here is we're seeing layoffs in a lot of places, but when you start to see them at major companies, okay, major investment firms that make nothing but money, your concern should be realized. Your concern should be legitimate, because if that is indeed happening, which it is, why? Why is always the question. You know, it's like banks laying off help. You know, why are banks laying off help? Okay. Those are the things that you look at. Those are the outside views that we don't talk about. Those are the outside things that may or may not, you know, show up in the footprint of the market right away. Okay. But you will see that over time, they will always show up in the footprint because it's just the way that life is, as we see these things happening all the time, but nobody pays attention to them. And that's why I'm telling you, you know, I mean, you know, Goldman Sachs has, you know, been one of the leaders in the industry forever. Okay. Again, the smartest people go to work at Goldman Sachs. Okay. You get a job at Goldman Sachs out of college, and you are basically, as they say, set for life if you work hard and you do a good job. Okay. I mean, that is or used to be like winning the lottery. Now, you know, I don't say that, you know, that they're, you know, still the same, but they're still one of the highest quality, smartest groups on the street. So if you believe in all that, which I do, okay, then certainly to me, that be sending me a message that they're laying off people because there's a problem. They're laying off people because they see more issues, okay, of things coming in the future, okay? Now, if you look at it from that perspective, you have to think to yourself, now, the market is higher over, you know, the last, you know, X amount of time, and Goldman Sachs is significantly lower. Goldman Sachs is significantly lower than its all-time highs. So again, the worry that you should have is that there's a lot bigger problems. Okay. I mean, you know, Goldman Sachs continues to drop. And of course, you know, you go back to 2009 when it was under 60 and now it's, you know, 150. But in the meantime, it made a high in that same period of 220. You know, what is the issue? You know, why are they struggling so much? Well, because again, money is tougher to come by for a lot of these firms. And that becomes, again, the bigger issue is trying to measure up and figure out, you know, where they're going to make their next buck, okay? And if they don't see it, then that creates a little bit more of a problem. Now, you know, we've had this ridiculous talk of rates, and of course, you know, now the 10-year is under, you know, at 1.7, okay? And, you know, the 30-year is at 2.63. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, where do we think that we're going with all this stuff happening? Okay? So these are issues and problems that, you know, again, I am not trying to create a stir or fear. It's not what I do. Believe me, it's not worth it. I have no interest in making it worth it. But in the meantime, the markets look to be, you know, kind of topping out a little bit. There's a lot of reasons to believe that the top is near. And we'll see. You know, again, I'm not going to predict it today. I'm just saying to you, hey, it's worth taking a look. There's more concerns than we're really hearing. Okay. But when you use thinkorswim, you really have no concerns. They are one of the best out there. They're my platform of choice and one of a few that I use. They've got great education, swim lessons every day. My friends Keith and Scott take care of it. They've also got the Red Option blog, which is a subscription model, which you may want to check out. Let me know. I'll get you a link for it. You can try it out. But again, I urge you to try it. And, you know, we do get some special breaks with them. So you can certainly shoot me an email. And I'd like to, you know, be able to help you out there. And in the meantime, if you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every day. Be one of the now over 200,000 people that are doing so. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what is up, everybody? What's going on? And what are we doing? And, you know, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're kind of staying on the sidelines, kind of looking for reasons to either liquidate out, take some profit, hedge, and look for deals or look for some alternative plays to what's going on in the overall market. Now, you know, if you're a market fan, you know, there's obviously we have the bulls and the bears, okay? And we have the terminal bulls, you know, the guys that are always bulls, and we have the terminal bears, the guys that are always bearish. And, you know, obviously, you know, you go from times, and of course we've had some ridiculous calls over the last number of years of people calling for the end of the world, and, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And of course most of them don't have one dime of their own money tied up in the market, but they've got just enough to fear you so you can buy a subscription from them, and, you know, at least they can make money while you're losing on both sides. But I think when you start to hear guys like, you know, Jim Chanos and Stanley Druckenmiller start to talk about problems that they're seeing, again, let's look at it from their side, and let's throw Warren Buffett into this mix from the other side. Okay, Druckenmiller and Chanos are more famously known for great bear calls in markets. However, they do both play the markets from the upside as well. They play different markets, but they do both play from the bull side, but they're more famously known as the great shorters. And of course, Warren Buffett, famously known for Berkshire Hathaway, as you know they call him one of the greatest investors of all time. I would love to argue that fact out, but this is not the right time. But he is a good investor, and of course he's a bull. He's always a buyer. He may not always participate in everything, because if he doesn't understand it, you know, like the internet bubble, he didn't get involved. But he won't be shorting. He'll be buying. It's just a question of what he's going to buy. But when guys who are relatively quiet most of the time and not manipulating markets and trying to manipulate their positions, you know, not the Carl Icahns of the world or all these other guys that are putting out this stuff, but guys that just kind of mind their own business, when they start becoming worried, that's something that you and I need to think about being worried. Because they're sitting there waiting to put on a massive position. Now, again, one of the things you have to remember, very important, is that they are long-term, and they're going to invest enough money to make a ton, but they're also going to have money left over, so they're not going all in. This is not like some major ridiculous call. This is a call that they're making that they believe will happen, you know, in the next 6 to 12 months, and they're just preparing themselves. And they also are preparing themselves with the ability to add to their positions. But Druckenmiller has come out with his new term. There's we've got everybody chasing in to the equity markets right now. I mean, you know, buying every opportunity. We've got over margin. And the Druckenmiller is calling this the TINA. There is no alternative. Okay. But, you know, he has made many, many great calls over the years. And he doesn't duck. And he explains his overall thought process of how markets work. And he's now seeing, you know, a bigger reason. Now, he's been calling this for, you know, maybe a couple of months or whatever. He's been accumulating, but he's been accumulating some gold, which has actually performed well, and some of his other assets have not. But, you know, and now Chanos is coming out with some more of his bear plays. So again, this isn't saying sell and get out today. This is saying, hey, just, you know, maybe you want to take a look and make sure that what you do own, you're happy with. Maybe you want to rotate into something else. It's also saying that maybe, you know, maybe it's time that you do look at learning how to hedge that portfolio. Again, that, you know, it's a pure hedge around your portfolio. Okay, So, you know, again, it's just something that, you know, you may want to think about. But, you know, you've got a lot of reasons to believe that things are in trouble. Okay. And you've got, you know, a lot of stuff out there that we see that really becomes a much bigger problem overall, because markets do not look extremely healthy at the moment. I mean, again, if you look at, you know, the jobs number we just had, if you look at any of the economic data, if you look at any of the manufacturing data, if you look at the balance sheet, okay? I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, we've had $2 trillion or $2.2 trillion in more debt or buybacks and only $1.8 trillion in, you know, new research and development. So what that's really telling you is that the companies are gearing up like squirrels to store their nuts versus trying to build their businesses. So they're not seeing the ability for a great deal of profit margin. Okay, so they're kind of pulling their horns in, and the way that they're putting their money to work is by taking advantage of the cheap money and, you know, buying back stock. But again, this is not to make you worry, okay, but where is the next round of buying going to come from? Who's got the money to buy? Okay, what's going to happen with China as they continue to restructure their debt? Okay, we've already seen Japan finally say no. Okay, we know that, you know, the Federal Reserve has zero credibility, and we now know that, you know, 75% of economists say that there's going to be a increase, you know, in June. Now, whether that is or not, who knows? I think they have no clue, but that's their call right now. But again, when you look at the overall picture, and then you throw in the IMF, which is Christine Lagarde, another genius, who is talking about the lack of growth. Where is the new money going to come from? Okay. You know, you cannot keep creating it out of thin air. At some point, it's got to be earned or made. And where do you think that's going to come from? And these are concerns that guys like, you know, Druckenmiller and Chanos have in their mind is, well, okay, fine, but where is everything going to come from? Okay. How are we going to sustain, you know, this overall business? And that is something, you know, that you have to understand is, you know, that there is no end game here. And you have to look at, you know, some of the asset classes that are starting to move up. Look what's happened with silver. You know, look what's happened with gold. I mean, you know, again, I'm not a fear player, but those are things that, you know, those are hard assets, okay, that will retain some sort of value no matter what happens. But they are assets that are not dependent on, you know, on a company's ability to buy back or anything. They don't have earnings. They're just hard, solid assets that have been around for thousands of years. So it's something for you to look at. It's something for you to understand. And again, this is not meant to scare you or make you fearful. Okay, but again, if you look at any market, you'll see dramatic moves up and down. I mean, you know, you can go in the agricultural space, look at oil, you know, 150 to 30, and you look at soybeans and corn, you know, cut by 50, 60%, 70% in some cases. You know, you look at, you know, gold substantially lower at one point. You know, so we have to be prepared to act on those situations and make sure that our inventory or our portfolio is protected. And that's the message here, is that not that we're going to crash today, is that there are signs that are pointing to a market that is going to work its way lower. And those signs should be noticed, and you should be preparing. Again, you wear a seatbelt in your car. You wear a seatbelt when you fly in a plane. You should be preparing for, very simply, a way to protect your own assets so that when the decline does come, you will not be forced out because you're not sure what to do. You won't have to make that ultimate decision while you're sweating, debating on if you're going to lose all your money or not. Those are the things that we worry about here at The Bubba Show, is how to make sure that you don't have to panic. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. And if you miss a show, remember libertytalk.fm. You can download all the past podcasts of The Bubba Show. And for the moment, we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will be right back after a break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back.
You're so delicious.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co. or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, Mike McClone. What is up, Mr. McClone?
Hey, Todd. Hello, and thanks for having me back.
Well, you know I'm going to have you back because I need someone to argue with.
Yeah, we have some good arguments and disagreements, but generally we agree on a lot of things.
We agree in principle on almost everything, but we do have some on the way we get there. But I guess, you know, the other day was the jobs number. And, of course, before you answer anything, I wrote Friday morning. I said that if the number is lousy, the market's going to rally because that all that means is that the free money or the cheap money is going to stay around and the Fed's going to be hamstrung and will not do anything once again. And you say...
Well, a nice call on that one, and I can't disagree with you because now we're back to bad news is good news because it means Fed tightening will go away. And that's one big dichotomy with the Federal Reserve versus every other central bank in the world. Every other central bank in the world is either looking at ways to ease or lower rates or make rates negative and add liquidity, and the central bank is still only priced for tightening. And that's the one key thing that I thought was the key dichotomy last year that I think is going away this year. And at some point, we're going to get to the point where we're going to get bad news and realize there's not much more the Fed can do or will do, and the market should at some point seek its own level. And then at some point, we should have a great opportunity to buy markets and assets at levels that are more less artificially stimulated by central bank easing.
Well, you know, now, obviously, we've got some serious problems and some serious issues going on, not just here, but globally. I mean, why is it that nobody really pays attention to what's going on as long as they can facilitate nurturing the needs of Wall Street? I mean, I don't really understand that model anymore. I understood part. I never liked it. Again, you and I have had this discussion before. I never agreed with it. They put me on the fence, so I was like a fence sitter. But I was never really a fan, and every day that goes by, I become less of a fan and realize that all we're doing is piling debt on top of debt on top of debt, and you know that that can't be good for a lot of reasons. So what do you think?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned debt because it's something that hasn't really been on the front page of conversations lately, and just the key fact that the government debt deficit is growing at 3% or so a year and the economy is growing at 1%, just do the math. And they keep saying it's getting better. It's just not growing as large as it was, but it's still growing. We're up to almost $19 trillion now. And the economy is essentially $18 trillion. So it's, you know, like 110%. But one thing to keep in mind is the largest indebted country in the world is Japan, and they have negative rates. So it's, the textbooks are all wrong on that subject. But I think that's something that's going to come back to the front page as we enter the election cycle, because Trump said some pretty inflammatory things about the deficit and the debt. But bottom line, it really brings me around to, I don't really know what to make of that other than it leads me back to better value assets that we've been talking about for a while, and that's gold and silver. And I have a feeling there's just starting to catch up and take off. And the key outliner remains the stock market. If the stock market becomes out of favor, then by default, gold and silver should be really, other than cash, like, and bonds, the other place, only place left to go. And I do want to talk about bonds a little bit later when we get a chance.
But doesn't, I mean, but also gold is affected. I mean, if we ever go negative here, which is a possibility, I mean, you know, again, we're not negative at the moment, but it's certainly a possibility. That would be really a big boom for gold as well, because, you know, what's the point of bringing your money to the bank, right? I mean, that becomes a bigger problem altogether, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely, and that's the key thing is there's another factor here that's really came, and it's, I think it's really come to the foreplay this year, and that is the idea of eliminating cash transactions. Like in Europe, they just said they're going to eliminate the $500 euro note, a 500 euro note. In the United States, you're talking about eliminating the $100 bill. In Japan, I think it's the 10,000 yen note. And, you know, that's supposed to hurt criminal activity, but if anything, it's going to make average people think of other ways to hold their assets other than earning a negative return in the bank. And there's, by default, the number one place to go that's liquid, and that's gold and silver.
So all the things you just said, doesn't that bring you back to what I always say, that it's a big Ponzi scheme, and that they're creating debt intentionally because all they're doing is devalue our currency and taking more control of what we do?
Well, the valuing of the currency, I think, is a key thing to remember, and that's one of the major things to always remember about gold. When you devalue the currency, you devalue it against other currencies. And that's generally how the dollar is measured. You measure it against the euro, against the dollar index, it's against other currencies. But there's only one single quintessential way to really measure the dollar against, and not against another currency, and that's against gold. It's just, there's even silver doesn't compare to gold. And that's why by default it should eventually be the winner. And it's just a question, I think, of time. And by the way, I look at it is, if we get to a situation where the Fed feels compelled to raise rates four times and the stock market's blasting off and financial assets are doing great, I just say, amen. That would be wonderful. Seen that. Been there, done that. That's been great. But that, to me, remains a dream based on some of the trends we're seeing. And one of the key trends, I think, that's telling us, that's warning us, there's two key things that have been warning us to really be careful in the markets, and that is this persistent decline in U.S. government bond yields, despite higher rates, and this very high gold-silver ratio.
Yeah. So before you get there, I want to finish this topic, because This is really like a spur in you know where, right? I mean, this is a really bothers me that we continue to, you know, I went to the bank. I don't know if I told you a story or not, but I want to tell you it because you'll get a kick out of it. You know, I go to I bank at Chase. I go to Chase in the Board of Trade building, right? You remember that's at, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I go in and I go to the teller, and I've only been banking there since, since they opened there, you know, because I used to bank at Lakeside across the street in the same building. I go and I said, I need change for 100. They go, what's your account number? I said, I have no fucking idea what my... Oops.
Just give me 520s.
Okay. I said, I have no idea what my account number is. Okay. Yeah. And I go, what's... And they go, well, we can't cash the money. So I, of course, I go nuts and start yelling at the bank. And I mean, I'm making a scene. And so my banker comes running up and takes me outside. And you know, first of all, she cashes 100. But she says, you know, pretty soon, you won't even be able to deposit cash anymore. Okay, and yeah. I go, what are we doing now? We have more regulation to worry about. We're going to be more into what's wrong with this country. I mean, what is going on here? This is a much bigger problem than just the stock market. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, and it's also I don't know where it's going to go, but other than by default, there's got to be some winners and losers. And the key winner will be people who hoard cash, which, you know, cash can burn up in a fire and can be stolen and stuff. But gold and silver, by default, should be key winners. And I hear that's what's happening in Japan. The sales of safes, people just store their cash in their own house in safes, is off the charts. So I have to, you know, I'm not so much, I never really consider myself a gold bug. I understand that people say it's a barbarous relic, but I still see it as, compared to a lot of other asset classes like stocks, it's still, and silver too, as they look like just very attractive assets. And I, you know, if you're, let's say, 10% or so allocation to gold does not work out in the next 5-10 years because financial assets are fine and there's no issues with your cash, then amen, that's fine. But as far as a diversified portfolio, yeah, it's looking more and more attractive.
You changed the subject so nicely right in front of my very... You're like a magician. You really got away from the question I asked.
Well, I kind of diverted from the subject. By the way, I bank at Chase, too. I've always been happy with them.
I mean, you diverted right away from what I just asked you. That's not very fair. All right, I'll let you slide. We'll move on. But you did divert. I want everybody to know that I wasn't sleeping and I was paying attention. You did not answer the question I asked. All right, so... This is a much bigger problem, though, and it seriously is a problem. And you've got, have you been following Stanley Druckenmiller at all recently?
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm fortunately a little too much because I've been very involved in the precious metals market, and I'm very aware of all the accolades out there who are very bullish on precious metals, but I haven't had a lot to show for being bullish on precious metals the last 3 years. I have a feeling I'm just catching up, and I'm hoping that that'll work out. But yeah, he makes some very sound, rational sense, and these are things that you and I have been talking about for almost 2 years.
Well, no, I mean, we've always talked about it, and I mean, my concerns are, you know, again, not just about the market, and, you know, not all of our listeners are only concerned about the market. I'm concerned that this whole mess is going to blow up in everybody's face. Okay, that's the concern. My concern is that they're herding everybody onto the boat like the Titanic, because as Druckenmiller wrote, Tina, there is nowhere else, or whatever it is. No. Let's see, Tina. There is nothing. What's it, acceptable? I forget what he wrote now. Now I lost my mind. But anyways, there's nowhere else to go. It was really what it is. And, you know, you're talking about some good asset classes, but people, you know, they don't always listen or do what we think they should do as far as, you know, diversifying a portfolio. But there's much bigger problems brewing. You cannot continue to compound debt, because who's going to end up paying for it? So when we come back from the break, Mr. McClone, because you're not going to avoid this one. When we come back from the break, I want to know, when all this does blow up, and it will, because it always does. Again, this is not me trying to predict, and Mike and I have never made the statements that, you know, the markets are going to collapse tomorrow, because we don't believe that. We believe that the markets will eventually go down, and then they'll eventually go up again. But when it's all done, who's going to pay for all this disaster, and how is it going to be handled when we've got trillions of dollars in debt just alone between the automakers and student loans? This is the Bubba Show. I'm with my man, Mike McClone, one of the smartest guys in the street. And he's, one of the things that really makes him special is he's an ex-trader. So he came out of the pits to become an analyst. Make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com and check out what we're doing there. We're doing a lot of great programs, including showing you how to buy gold and hedge your portfolio. Also, download the Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can be one of our over 200,000 people downloading it every month. We would appreciate it. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. I was proud. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with my guy, Mike McClone. And again, one of the smartest guys in the street, understands it, is a very good analyst of what's going on. Unlike our economists who don't know until after the fact, Mike has been telling you for about 2 years now of things that look good. But okay, so Mr. McClone, before we get into the bonds and everything else, I want to know who's going to pay for everything that's the debacle that's being created right now. Okay, because you know that you cannot keep building debt upon debt. It's going, eventually it has to stop. And we both know who's going to end up paying for this. But I want you to tell the listeners who's going to pay for all when it's all said and done.
Well, we don't know for sure. But when you have a situation like this, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint one specific entity, but genuinely, when you have a situation like this historically, holders of this government debt should eventually get repaid in inflated currency. That's really, you know, one of the key ways that historically governments have gotten out of such situations. Now, it would be wonderful if we can grow our GDP at 5% and reduce and have our deficit increase at zero for 10 years, at least. That would be great. We'd pay it down, and that would be wonderful, at least a lot of it. But that's not happening. It's not any way going there. But one reason I have to admit, like before, sometimes I'll dodge some of your questions, is because I don't have a good comment. Sometimes I don't know what to say. So I'll go back to something I know well. And one thing I know well is I don't know where it's going to end. In this situation, I don't know how it's going to really happen. I've studied historically, but I do know that I see ways that we should protect ourselves, and that is with physical assets, like generally owning your home is a good thing if you own it, and having some store value assets. I still like treasuries because they have to prove me wrong, and they haven't proved me wrong yet. They've been one of some of the best investments for the last 3 years, despite the fact that all the professionals have said that you shouldn't be in treasury bonds. And I don't know how that's going to play out yet, but at some point, generally, the pay down situations like this is you deflate the currency.
My point exactly. They deflate the currency. They're going to create more inflation, which is what they're trying to create. And of course, we, the middle class, get the benefit of paying for all the stuff that's going on and all this debt. So now, I've asked this question to a couple of people, and I want to get your take on it. Okay. I say, in my opinion, the automakers have sold their soul and mortgage their futures because they're not giving 10-year notes on their cars. And everybody's gloating about how good Ford's numbers were last week. And I go, okay, great, but they're selling cars on 10-year notes. What's going to happen in the pipeline? They're not going to have a pipeline because one of the biggest problems in this country right now, if we don't have any good jobs, we aren't manufacturing very much. Companies are not growing by natural ways that you would expect them to grow. They're growing by money, but not by production, which at the end of the day causes us lousy jobs and everything else. So do you agree that they may be mortgaging your future and they're creating too much debt there, or do you have another solution?
Well, I wouldn't say more. I think that's an area you have a lot more expertise than I. And I look at it more cyclically. We've had just some record auto sales, and these things you just don't expect these type of things to continue forever. And there's some major demographics changing in auto sales. Number one, they really were boosted by lower gasoline prices, which helped sell SUVs and stuff, which automakers make more money on. But also, one key thing that's happening is technology. It's completely shifted what's happened in the energy market. We all saw that with fracking and natural gas and everything. But your average vehicle nowadays will last a good 10 years and get you 200,000 miles, almost double what it did 10 years ago. And by the way, it's getting 25 miles to the gallon on average compared to 19 miles per gallon 10 years ago. So that at some point is going to hurt auto sales. Also, demographic changes in this country. So I think one thing I look about auto sales last year, it was wonderful, and more recent it was great. But at some point, you're supposed to be selling when they're yelling and buying when they're crying. And that is just not going to get much better. One thing that we could see like last with retail sales is, despite these strong auto sales, retail sales have been declining for essentially almost 4 years now. They've kind of seemed to be bottoming, at least a little bit, but they haven't increased when they should have been, when unemployment was declining and doing better. And one thing we did see a bit of a confirmation on Friday was, finally, the unemployment number was a little bit weaker than expected, and the revisions were down. So when I wrote about it as an analyst on Friday, similar to you, I just point out, unemployment's just catching up to some of these leading indicators you and I have been pointing out, and that is the treasury bond market, yields have been declining, gold-silver ratio has been peaking, and retail sales haven't been very strong. So I think it's just catching up, and it looks like it's going to last a while. I think like these kind of things like auto sales and this declining trend in unemployment is probably stopped for now.
Well, I don't see anywhere where we're going to find any real growth, to be honest with you. I mean, I'd like to have an answer. I'd like to say, no, we're going to grow here, but I don't see any real spot where there's going to be growth.
Robots.
I mean, that's the problem. Isn't that the bigger problem?
I mean,
that becomes the bigger problem because you're going to take the rest of the workforce out. But of course, you know, this is one of your specialties. I mean, you trade in this pit and, you know, bonds. You know, I know you're a fan, and look, even at bonds at, you know, at a point and a half, you know, it's a couple of things. It's an asset that's backed by the full faith and credit, whether you believe in it or not. But I mean, there isn't many stronger asset classes to own except for gold than a U.S. Treasury bond, right?
Well, I'd like to just give a little background on the bond market, and that is part of the reason I've obviously followed the bond market. I've been in for, it's to me the basis of everything I ever make decisions on. And the U.S. government bond market is the leading indicator for inflation, bar none. And the key thing that really got me was the beginning of 2014, virtually every analyst out there said inflation's going up, bond yields are going up, don't buy bonds, and by the way, the commodity is going up. They were completely wrong. Bond yields have still declined, so investment in investment like TLT, riskless government securities, has been one of the best investments. And then last year, the Fed tightened, so they raised rates, but bond yields declined. That's a flattening yield curve. It's another indication that something is not right. So the way I look at it, until I start losing money on my bond positions, I will not believe what these people say about inflation. And bond, you know, it's a great leading indicator, and I just need to see that change. One thing I think that I've just come to an epiphany about is all these Fed officials making these comments that are positive and optimistic, it's not so much they want to say that, but they have to, because put yourself in their position, they can't talk bearish and realistically about the economy like you and I can, because they have to support things, they have to help produce positive sentiment, because if they don't, they will be blamed. And that's one of the situations they're stuck in now, and we're stuck in now. We have to make rational decisions based on what we see happening, and be careful what we hear from people like the Fed, who have a vested interest in trying to make us feel like things are better than they really are.
Well, now, see, this is another issue that I really can't stand. Who cares? Why? Whoever wants to hear from the Federal Reserve anyways? I mean, when did it become a weekly or a daily occurrence that we have to hear from one of those guys? I don't get it, Mike. I got to be honest with you. To me, all it is again, it goes back to the Ponzi scheme, because that's what it is. What do I want to care what the Fed has to say? I can look at the economy. I can see what's going on. I don't need them to talk it up. Do you think that their stuff, other than the cheap money, actually helps anybody? Do you think it makes anybody feel better? I don't think so.
Well, I appreciate that vent, because I think it makes a lot of sense. But unfortunately, as you and I both know, we're in this situation now that they are so ingrained in what's happening. They've dug their claws in so much that they're stuck. Everything they do is going to matter. Everything they say is going to matter, which is going to create volatility. And by the way, they're human. And they've created this massive, massive rally in the equity market. Just bottom line is that we all know at some point, all those returns that have been pulled forward have to come back. And it might take a long time. And at some point, like what happened just 2 weeks ago in Japan, when the Bank of Japan did nothing and the dollar dropped 3% in 2 minutes, is a clear indication that something's up, and the Fed, the central banks, might just not be having the power of effective policy that they had in the past.
Well, again, I wish they would shut up and stay away. I don't want to hear from them. I don't care. I'm tired of all the manipulation, because I really do believe it has taken away from free markets. I do believe that we are not running a totally free market system right now, which is not good, and not what you and I want as investors and as traders and as citizens of the United States. So I think that is a bigger problem down the road. You got 20 seconds. You got a last minute message for everybody?
Yeah, stick with the sound investments that have the best value. Still like the U.S. government bond market until it proves us wrong. Like gold and silver, never forget that cash is king in a global deflation environment. Be careful and just be cautious and diversified, and stick with the value investments.
That's our guy Mike McClellan. Every week he says the same thing. Be careful. Be careful out there. It's dangerous out there. You get too many Fed officials out there. You might get shot by one. No, it's too dangerous out there. You got too much thing going on there. It's a tough situation. Mike, as always, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure if you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download every day. We've now got over 200,000 people a month downloading, and we want to make it more. We want you as part of it. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you later, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Events.